This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Is there a penalty down in the middle of the field, right by the center?
Oh, my goodness.
They must have touched the center, because the center, let's see. Rhodes is saying that he was hit. At least that's what he's signaling to the sideline.
It's against Denver. It is against Denver.
Personal foul. Leverage. Defense number 9.
That's a huge,
oh my goodness,
that is a huge penalty.
First down.
Well, it's right in the middle here. You see the leverage jumping over the top. That's where the penalty was called, and that's not a little penalty. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Now it is a 45-yard field goal. With no time left, this for the win. Spencer Schrader. It's good, and the Colts have won.
And that's the way it goes down. Just awful. So many emotions in this game, Michael. And, I mean, Spencer Schrader. The dude had never made a 50-yard field goal, let alone a 60-yard field goal. D'Andre Tillman decides it might be a good time to try to block the field goal. What are we doing? Michael, it was leverage. I mean, if you go watch this replay, it was leverage. In football, leverage refers to the strategic position a player takes relative to the ball carrier or opposing player to gain an advantage, influencing the angle of approach, control, and direction of movement. Hands were on top of the center, trying to almost hold him down and using it to somewhat boost themselves. It wasn't egregious, but by the letter of the law, it sure looked like a penalty, Mike.
Brady is a diehard homer. I'm going to disagree with. No, I can't do that.
You can't do it.
I just can't. No, it's science. You're right. It's the letter of the law. That was one of the only good calls that they had. Not a great reffing crew, but they were right on that one. They got that right, and that makes me very sad. I wish they'd gotten that wrong. But yeah. It was. I heard a lot of fans on Broncos Radio Network post game here on 1310 KFK 103.1. Northern Colorado's voice complaining about it, but it was the right call, and it really sucks.
I don't really like the whole, you can't call that there.
Yes, you can.
I don't like that. I hate that take. I hear it in basketball all the time, and even when it's against my team, if it's a penalty, it's a penalty. If your response is, you can't call that there, you're almost admitting that, you know, it was a penalty. So blaming the refs on this game. Listen, Mike, you had opportunities in this game. And you look at that final sequence for Denver. Not even the final sequence, but basically in that fourth quarter. The Colts have the ball late into the third. Then it runs into the fourth. There's about 13 minutes left when they go for it on fourth down. Broncos get the ball. Where were they? On their own 50. On the 50. On their own 50. On the 50. So the Colts go for it. turnover on downs, 13 minutes left. The Broncos are up 28-23. And, I mean, they scored that touchdown early in the third, didn't score again. You're up 28-3. Very first play out of that, 15-yard penalty, you get roughing the passer. So now you're looking at an opportunity here. You're on the 35, it's first and 10 at Indianapolis' 35-yard line. Mike, I imagine if you went to ESPN on the matchup predictor, the Broncos at that stage probably had an 80 to 90-plus percentage chance of winning the game. You're up 28-23. Now you have the ball on the Colts' 35. All you have to do is not screw it up, and you kick a field goal.
Well, I'm sure they didn't screw it up.
So the next play is a 9-yard pass to J.K. Dobbins, pushed to Indianapolis' 26. Now we're even in more chip shot range here for Will Lutz. Then it's a negative 2-yard run. And then Mike, Bo Nix sailed it, and you get an interception by Bynum for the Colts.
I'm going to defend him on this play. Look, he sailed it, but he couldn't go through his full motion.
Yeah.
That was a great defensive play.
Yeah.
So
it was a great
defensive plays. It was a great catch by the defensive back. He had a lot of pressure in his face. Yeah, he threw the interception. I'm not gonna blame him fully for that.
But Mike, it's what was it? Was that third down? Or was that second down?
I don't remember.
Yeah, no, it was. So on first down, you had the J.K. Dobbins one, so it's second and one. Then you run it, negative two, so now it's third and three. You're on Indianapolis' 28. There's part of me that's like, run the ball. If you don't get it, you kick the field goal.
Don't put yourself up by eight.
Yeah, don't put yourself in a tough position. Almost give in right there. Run the ball. You don't get the first down, you kick the field goal. So the interception happens. The Colts then drive seven plays on this. They go 81 yards, Michael, against this, we believe, championship-caliber defense with some injuries. And Surtain didn't look right once he went down. And then the next possession, it's 28-26. You drive down to, you know, you get the ball back in a pretty good spot. You're on Indianapolis' 24-yard line after Bo Nix finds Troy Franklin for 15 yards. It was already third and 24 because of the penalty, but still, then you set up for a much easier field goal. And then Will Lutz misses the 42-yard field goal.
I did not understand how that worked. Like, he knuckled it, and then it just suddenly went right. That happened before on the extra point, on the touchdown before. Because I was thinking about that. I'm trying to think of the physics of how it just suddenly went right. There's no wind. How exactly did that happen?
I don't know.
It was like magic.
I don't know.
Dark magic. But he missed that field goal, and I'm like, oh, no. Oh no, this is a bad sign. The defense has been playing weird all day.
Yep.
What's going on?
I don't know. And listen, I think the Colts are going to be better than what we first predicted. I mean, Daniel Jones is a much different quarterback. I mean, he threw for 300 yards, one touchdown. He was sacked one time. How many sacks did the Broncos have last week? Six?
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor absolutely destroyed him. 165 yards for him. A rookie tight end had a hell of a game. And Tyler Warren, four receptions for 79 yards. I saw some really good things in this game, Mike. I mean, you ran the ball 24 times. Bo Nix threw it 30. But the 24 times, it was spread out. It wasn't like four carries in the first half. So I'm seeing better things. I saw it on Sean Payton's play sheet. They're running the ball is still there.
Well, I noticed that. Didn't they start off the game with a couple of runs?
Yeah.
So he was like, going to run the ball. Then he ran the ball.
First play was J.K. Dobbins, I believe, right off the bat. For the Broncos, it was an 18-yard run for J.K. Dobbins to set the tone. I mean, after the Colts went marched right down the field and got a field goal to start the game, Denver responded with a touchdown. It's just, and then you get the end. Dondre Tillman. Like, what are you doing, Mike?
That's on the coach. Coach has got to say,
don't try to do anything crazy.
60-yard field goal. If he makes this,
then you shake his hand and you go home.
Yeah. If he makes this, then he should have a statue built of him.
Right next to Peyton Manning.
Yeah, exactly. They were showing that in the fourth quarter. If he makes this, that you get a statue. Like, that is a great field goal. Anyone who kicks a 60-yarder is a great kicker.
He's never even attempted a 50-yarder. Never even attempted one. I mean, that is bad coaching. And then you go back to the Kansas City debacle last year with the blocked kick.
Either bad coaching or bad listening.
Yeah, I tell you, man.
Like, you should understand, even people like me who have never played actual football outside of, like, sixth grade flag football, we know if you're a kicker and you're kicking from, like, 50 yards or further, you're not kicking as vertically. You're kicking a little more horizontal because you've got to get more power into it. It's got to go lower. It's easier to block those field. You don't need to jump over the guy. Just jump up.
This is something that you wouldn't think you'd have to tell your personnel on that. Like, just don't do anything goofy. Jump straight up in the air. You can't touch the center. And I don't know if that was relayed or if they just assumed. I as a fan, sit back and I just assumed, right, that they're not going to – if you're not going to sneak in there, try to block it, and then accidentally – like, coming off from the side, the edge.
Yeah, you're
not
going to
be – well, you're not going to be aggressive, though. You don't want – if it's a wide open lane and you're there and they just completely don't touch you, great, go for it. But don't, you know, don't hit the holder. Don't hit the kicker. Don't do something weird. And in this case, you did something weird and it cost you the game. These are the kind of games that you're going to look at, Mike, if you're trying to make the playoffs this year. And if you miss it by a game, this very well could come up. Because I'll tell you right now, they needed to start 2-0. The Colts might be better, whatever. You had an opportunity there, several opportunities, the interception, the missed field goal. And now you got to go to Los Angeles to play a Chargers team. We'll watch them tonight on Monday Night Football. We have the doubleheader for you tonight, too. Tampa Bay and Houston and the Chargers Raiders on Monday Night Football right here on KFKA. You're at Los Angeles. I know you're waving your hands, but this is a tough opponent. Then you're on Monday Night Football against the Bengals, and that suddenly looks a little different. Because
Former Washington Husky Jake Browning starting.
Yeah. That guy's still in the league, huh?
He is. He's an adequate backup.
Well, Joe Burrow is needing toe surgery, which would sideline him for a minimum of 3 months.
I feel so bad for the guy.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for him.
Yep. So suddenly that game looks a little different on Monday Night Football. But then you're at Philadelphia. And then you go to London to take on the Jets. London's just weird. That's a weird thing. So it did look like the gauntlet with the Bengals, and then we get the news about Burrow, and it's like, okay, well, it's still kind of a gauntlet because you got a Chargers team who I think is a playoff team. You got the Eagles. Look what they did yesterday. They just went ahead and beat the Chiefs. Chiefs are 0-2. Patrick Mahomes has lost 3 games in a row for the first time in his career dating back to the Super Bowl. This is a concern. Now, again, I saw good things from the offense, but now suddenly you give up 29 points to the Colts, Mike. This is supposed to be a defense that is is trying to compete with the likes of the no-fly zone and the Orange Crush defense, and you give up a game like that. That's concerning, and I know they're beat up right now. Still concerning.
Look, you just need to get a little healthier. You need to get your middle linebackers back because, boy.
Yikes.
Boy.
Alex Singleton is.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, had a bad game.
Yep.
Had a bad game.
Was that, I think that was on him, too, the wide open touchdown that they had to Richardson, right?
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor. What am I saying Richardson for?
He had a rough game. He's had some good games. That was not one of his good games. But yeah, it was like everybody on defense just did not look good. And yeah. And with Patrick Surtain, it's not like he was burned. Now, I'm going to give a lot of this credit to Daniel Jones and the Colts offense. Well, it's not like he was burned.
Riley Moss looked bad too.
Yeah.
I mean, he had some bad plays in this game.
But
you didn't get a lot of pressure. You didn't get a lot of pressure on Daniel Jones.
Yeah, that was a concern.
That was a major concern.
Right. So, that's not typical.
Yeah, now you got to go back to the drawing board here and try to regroup against the Chargers team that, again, I feel like maybe not quite in the contender conversation. They're not the Ravens or the Bills, but they're in that second tier to me, which is where I kind of thought the Broncos were. Game like that, again, clunky ending, but getting it to that point scares me. And against Tennessee, it was an escape. So, major concerns at this stage.
So, way too early reaction. Where in the playoffs do you put the Indianapolis Colts?
I could see them sneaking in.
Okay, so you can see them at a 6 or a 7?
They could replace the Broncos. That kind of game could knock the Broncos out and give them the spot.
Then where do you put the Chargers? Because you seem to be very high on
the Bengals are out now.
Yeah.
The Bengals are out. The Bills are in, obviously. Don't believe in anybody else in the AFC East. The Ravens are in. Not sure about the Steelers now. That was rough for them. So let's say no to the Steelers. The Chargers could win the division. I mean, if you're asking me right now after 2 weeks, my top three teams in the AFC, and we'll see what the Chargers do tonight. But I would go Buffalo, Baltimore, and then the Los Angeles Chargers. And the Colts, where do you place them? Are the Colts better than the Patriots? Maybe. Are they better than... They're better than the Bengals. Again, this Bengals thing is big news. That's going to set them back. They're going to be... I mean, they're 2-0, but that's not the plan. Browning, I forgot he was in the league, Mike.
I mean, I forgot, too. I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I remember. He played a few years ago, and people liked him for a bit.
Yeah. Smitty says the Colts play in the weakest division, which could allow a 9-8 or 8-7 team to win the AFC South.
I think they're going to be better than that.
They're
going to win their division, so they'll get at least the 4, unless they've done something better with the playoffs and you get your automatic bid, but if you play in a cupcake division.
I mean, they go to Tennessee next week, take on the Titans. That you could very well start the season off 3-0.
Wouldn't it be funny to see the Titans just blow them out?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be watching this now. I mean, this is, again, it's not college football where every loss we just really freak out, but kind of, I guess, because you don't get style points or anything like that. Oh, well, you lost. It's nothing to do with that, but it just, the optics of losing that game when you very much wanted to start out 2-0 because of you knew what was ahead of you, that's what's frustrating here on a Monday.
In the NFL, the only way style points matter is if you haven't done your job well enough and you're tied with another team, and it's the third or fourth tiebreaker to get into the playoffs is point differential.
I'm just watching the replay over and over again. I mean, he's basically laying on the center.
He's like, just giving him a bit of a hug.
I mean, could he have stumbled and fallen over him?
Gravity was winning.
Here's what I took this screenshot. Jeff Legwald got this posted last night. Here's what the officials had to say, because the question was, can you explain the leverage call on the 60-yard field goal attempt at the end of the game? Craig Rolstad, the official speaking on this, for quote, for leverage as a defender, you're not allowed to place your hand on an opponent or a teammate and push off to propel yourself into the air to block a kick. In this case, number 92 came across the line to the right guard, and he put his hands on the right guard and pushed off him to elevate himself in the air in order to try to block the kick. You're not allowed to do that. It is a personal foul and a 15-yard penalty. In this case, since it was the last play of the game, it was a foul on the defense. We extended the game for one untimed down. We assessed the 15-yard penalty, and they were able to run another play.
If this is everything that a more than casual football fan, like if you watch football every week, you should know these rules. You should know these rules. I mean, the leverage rule was something that was passed the last yep. few years, but you should know these rules.
Yeah, and I've got a texter here that says, this doesn't have to make sense. That's a call you absolutely can't call when it determines a game like that. That is the take I'm talking about. It doesn't. Did he do it or not? Yes, he did. He placed his hands on him, and he tried to kind of even just boost. Even if he extends that elbow out, you're trying to use him with a little leverage, and they have an official right behind the field goal kicker, looking directly at him.
Yeah, and I'm going to disagree with your texter. The homer in me wants to agree, but look, there are some calls that you leave just a little. You're a little lenient on. This is one that you're not. It's considered a personal foul.
Yeah. And
the taunting ones. The taunting ones, throw that out the window. Who cares? Like, taunting is stupid anyway. Like, taunting, throw that out the window at the end of the game.
Yeah.
But this you do have to call. Roughing the passer, they've been, like, very, very anal retentive on those the last couple of weeks, which
right. No one's arguing whether they should have. I mean, no one's arguing that this is a call you have to yeah. make, at least me. And I don't like the whole you can't call that. Texture here from Faith. Reports are out that the Bengals have started reaching out to free agent quarterbacks. Wonder who may surface. So I'm sure Shedeur Sanders' name is going to come up. Might. Well, Kenny Swami, I don't disagree it's a penalty, but why does it have to be 15 yards? I mean, but that's in the rule book. The ref's going to call it.
It's considered a personal foul. I don't like that either.
Yeah, but a lineman in that situation is looking down, kind of, and you're not supposed – I mean, you could see how it could be dangerous.
I would make that a
10-yard. Maybe not a 15-yarder, but it is what it is. That's in the rule book. It's not like the ref is just, you know what? That one looked bad enough. We're going to go 15.
I would drop that down to 10 yards. You kind of got to give it a happy medium, 10 yards and re-kick.
How brutal is that, Mike? How you doing? How you holding up?
I normally watch just a little bit of the TV post-game.
It's brutal after.
I have the radio on in the background, so when I did not hear excitement from Dave Logan, I'm like, did he make the kick?
Yeah.
And then he missed the kick, and I'm like, I'm still not hearing excitement from Dave Logan.
No.
What's going on?
No.
Yeah, I turned the TV off immediately,
yeah.
And I had to hear the reaction from Broncos fans, and it was negative.
Yeah, it's a negative. This was supposed to be the year. Last year there was really no pressure, and you make the playoffs. I always said once Sean Payton was hired, especially when the Russell Wilson thing ended, that it's going to be year three that we really judge Sean Payton. Year one, you're trying to clean up a mess. Year two, you got your rookie. Just try to find something positive. And then year three is, all right. You cleared out Russell Wilson. Nobody disagrees. You built up that defense, and you're starting to get your guys in there. So yeah, there's a lot of angst. There's a lot of pissed off Broncos fans today because of the expectations. And this is what happens when you go to the playoffs when you weren't supposed to, and you have your head coach talking about Bo Nix being a top five quarterback pretty soon, and having championship caliber type team. When you lose week two to a Colts team that was 8-0 or 8-8 last year, and a quarterback that was dead in the water, that was ready to be completely done, or by media and fans, they were ready to be done with Daniel Jones, and you lose to that team, you're going to have panic.
It helps my mental health knowing that Daniel Jones is not a terrible quarterback, knowing that the Colts are probably a really good team, and knowing that the Broncos got back on track offensively and they didn't get blown out. A lot of the reasons why they lost were stupid penalties.
You lost a tough road game, weird situation.
They always struggle.
But it is a road game.
Indianapolis.
It is a tough spot to play. You know, and the Colts get up for that. Colts fans get up for that game. And we're the ones that stole Peyton Manning from them. Manning claims to be a Bronco more. Well, maybe we claim that he's more of a Bronco, but you see where he is. You see where he lives. You see what he's talking about more. Yeah, he's a Bronco.
Yeah, he wears more orange than he does that regular blue.
Yeah, so Colts fans get up for that game. All right, Michael, you know what? We got to do this before we break. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good, not much. But the Bears again, the UNC Bears, they go to overtime against South Dakota. They were a 20-plus point dog in this game, and they force overtime. They didn't win. But 2 weeks in a row against much better opponents, should be, right, on paper. The Bears have come out with, I think, some positives. So I'm going to go with the Bears, Ed Lamb's crew, good. We'll get into that a little bit more later on. The bad is, I'm going to say it's the leverage call, but it's bad because you put yourself in that situation, A, to get called for that, and then B, poorly managed game. And again, why was Sean Payton with the timeouts late when the Colts ultimately kicked the game-winning field goal? Thought that was a strange time to do that. The ugly is everyone lost. CU got smoked on Friday by Houston. Bears, obviously, we talked about that. They lost. Air Force looked good offensively. Defensively, whoo, that's bad. And then Wyoming, defense pretty good against Utah. Missed 4 million field goals. Offensively, yikes. And what's the news on John Michael Gillenport? Have you seen? Tight end for the Cowboys. I mean, he was taken out of the game. And is he hurt? Like, how hurt is he? We'll try to dig into that a little bit later on, and that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Coming up next, Monday morning headlines on the whole show from the weekend that was. We'll get to that. Also, more on the Broncos' loss, more on the Buffs' loss over the weekend. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, will join me. Panic button time in Boulder. We'll talk about it. We'll be right back.
Join Kyle Johnson and Bruce Dick for the high school football game of the week. Fridays on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
We faced adversity and felt like we would overcome it. Right now, to be honest with you, I'm lost for words because there's no way anybody could have told me that we were going to come down here and get our butts kicked. When I'm talking about getting your butts kicked, when we give up 209 yards rushing, that means we are out physical. And when we only gained 96 yards running the football, that means we weren't physical. We gave up certain plays. Everybody in here that played in the game could account for at least a play or two that you want back, that you didn't make the best of your opportunity. And that's what life consists of, opportunity. If you don't make the best of your opportunity, it's no way you could be successful. Then if you had those opportunities, then you got to figure out why you keep not taking advantage of the opportunity. We find ourselves in a losing position. Those of us are not coming to that position. We keep doing the same old things we've always done, and we're going to get the same old things we've always got. Some of you got out there and took the opportunity to play your butts off, and I'm truly proud of you. I'm praying for those ones who are injured. I can't wait till you recover so you can get back and do what God has blessed you to do. But now you need to have a self-examination because we got a long flight back. Usually take, I don't know how long for us to pack up everything and get on the plane and take off. But you need to self-analyze yourself. And don't point fingers at others, but look at yourself first and see what you could have done so that we could have came out victorious. I still believe in you. We still love you. We still appreciate you. We still feel like we're going to have a winning season. And I know we are because we like that. You just got to believe that. Let's have a wonderful night.
All right, the Buffs lose 36-20 to the Houston Cougars on Friday night. I thought everything looked pretty bad. You know, obviously the big debate last week was the quarterback situation. I just felt what I kept going to was, all right, you're going to your third string guy, Ryan Staub. That does not tell me that things are all well and good after 2 weeks of football in Boulder. And there was a lot of issues. Staub had his moments. He had his moments, Mike. But he looked bad, too. But also, his receivers weren't coming up with plays. They were, I mean, Houston ran for over 200 yards. At the end of the half, kind of looked, oh, there's some life. Staub looks like a fiery competitor, man. That's going to be exciting for them. It was a rough go. And now what's interesting, Mike, you got Wyoming coming to town. That defense is good for Wyoming. I mean, just ask Kyle Whittingham his thoughts on that defense. Now, the score looks odd. You know, it's 31-6, but this was 3-0 at the half, Michael. Houston missed 475 field goals, but you're still forcing them to go with field goals. And even though, like, Devin Dampier, the numbers now on the box score look good, 230 yards, two touchdowns, 86 rushing yards for him, that guy is a problem. But they kind of contained him a bit. So now you got a Wyoming team coming to town that's really pissed off, and Utah's not the same team as CU. Utah's was number 20 in the country. And you now have a Buffs team that has a win over Delaware, a weird win. Even though they covered, it didn't necessarily feel like that. So after losing to Houston, where do you put this team? I know we got a break here, but are they a bowl team? Do the Buffs get into a bowl?
Before the season started, I predicted them to lose this game, but I didn't. Boy, they just don't look good.
The Buffs are 12.5-point favorites over the Cowboys. How you feel about that line? They were 23.5 dogs against Utah, 12.5 against the Buffs. I don't know. A lot of weird things can happen. You know, you're little old Wyoming, and you're going to go down to Boulder, and you've heard all the stuff surrounding it, and they're the complete opposite programs. The Buffs are, you know, documentaries and commercials and flash, all that stuff. The Cowboys are the complete opposite. I mean, they're not flashy at all.
I saw a commercial for the now backup quarterback for CU a couple times. Wyoming is going to be mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where's all our NIL deals?
This is an opportunity for them to go. Isn't that game going to be on ESPN? 8:15? I think we're alone now. Like, there's nobody going to be. That's going to be the game. Wyoming can go get on the map, go into Boulder, and beat CU.
So I'll be able to watch my Washington Huskies beat up little brother in the Apple Cup and then watch CU play I don't know how they're going to play. They may be awful against Wyoming.
It could be. Again, picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that, but and we did. I was off to a 2-0 start, Mike. It was so good Friday night. I'm like, hate that I'm right, but yeah, I called Houston covering. And I called UNC covering. And they go to overtime against South Dakota. I'm feeling good. 2-0. Now all I need is Air Force not to crap all over the place. And they did defensively. Utah State might be good.
I would like to apologize to UNC and UNC fans. I went against my gut and said that they weren't going to cover. I said that they were going to have a down week.
I'm very optimistic about the Bears the rest of the way. 44 minutes after the hour. Let's take a break. I'll go through my headlines here quickly before we get to noon because they're Monday morning headlines. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
It is a little frustrating. Michael and I were watching the replay of the Will Lutz missed field goal, and it put them side by side. It looked like the same thing was going on in that play, too.
Yeah, this is the officiating crew was not great, and I'm speaking objectively. There were some calls that the Broncos did their way, and Trent Green was right to complain.
They were throwing flags everywhere. For the Broncos, against the Broncos, they were tossing some flags, man. Their arms got to be a little sore from
and
that game.
And some of them were right, and some of them were wrong.
First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Tomorrow, we're going to have some great guests in studio. Big City Roadhouse, the owners of Big City Roadhouse, are going to join us. That place is awesome. I went in there last week, had some wings, had some tavern-style pepperoni pizza.
I was not invited.
Well, it was a meeting. And a meeting of minds, as we say in the industry. But man, you guys got to try it. Let me know when you go by there, because I would like to know your thoughts. Because I know they support the show, they support KFKA, and people hear me and they're like, well, you have to say those things. We go after businesses that we like. You know, for as far as advertisers and people we're going to talk about, we usually go after places that make sense to us. I'm a collector. So I like Diamond Valley Collectibles. We got our trivia question coming up a little bit later on today. So be ready for that. We register a new batch this week. Congratulations to who won last week, Michael? Do you have your sheet in front of you?
Not in front of me, but it is in my office.
All right, it's in your office. Somebody won the $20 gift certificate, and they're now entered into the chance to win the $100 gift certificate and a signed jersey.
Congratulations.
So we got two winners so far that are in. So we're going to keep rolling on this every day. A little trivia. It entertains, but it challenges you a bit, and you're going to learn something that maybe you didn't know. Because I know you're all Googling it. I know it's 2025. You don't just know it, but I can't fight you with that. 11:51 the time. Let's take a quick break here. More on the weekend that was pretty lousy for the teams we talk about here on a daily basis. We'll be right back.
Preps to college to the pros, we have your football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA. Shout!
A little angry music today, Michael. A lot of fan bases angry on this Monday.
I know, we're angry and sad. At the same
I'm angry. I'm sad. That's one of those games, too, where he makes that field goal and you're just kind of sit back. You're like, what the hell just happened here? And then, we got to talk about that all day. Yay. But that's what we do here. We air it out. We're going to play it out. all day here. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we got top stories of the day. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, will join us. What do the Buffs do from here? Still questions about the quarterback? Probably, right? It's the whole show. Top stories coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.